This morning's scripture reading is in John chapter 1. John chapter 1, we'll be starting with verse 6. There came a man who was sent from God. His name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all men might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to every man was coming into the world.
Thank you, Morgan. Good morning. If you missed last Sunday, you're not alone. And no, I have not been praying for snow on Sunday. Do you think a preacher would do that? That's Thursday and Friday, and then you pray for sunshine on Saturday and Sunday. But keep praying for rain. Keep praying for rain, because we're going to need it. I am so glad that the Seattle Seahawks won the Super Bowl this year. I'm glad that on the last play that they handed the ball off to Marshawn Lynch and he crossed the plane and won the game. I keep having this terrible nightmare that instead of doing that, the quarterback threw the ball and it was intercepted, and that somehow New England won the game. Do you believe everything you're told? Well, I just told you a lie, didn't I? Because New England did win the game. Marshawn Lynch wasn't given the ball. And what was that coach thinking? Well, really, this is not about sports. Why do you believe what you believe? That's what this is about this morning. Why are you here? If there was any way for you to have the security that only God could provide, do you think He would give that in the church? See, there are a lot of people that just can't sleep at night because they have no security. They may have the best digital alarm system in their house. But folks, houses will come and go, cars will come and go, things will come and go, but souls are forever. So what we trust in matters. What we believe matters. So if someone else were to come along to you and say, "I'm so glad that the Seahawks won the Super Bowl," you would be able to say, "Wait a minute, I watched that last play and I know they didn't. I was there. I witnessed it." John the Baptist came as a witness to the deity of Christ. He saw Jesus for who He was. Only you and I could wish that we could see Jesus, and we think, if we could see Jesus the way John saw Jesus, then we'd be better people. Not necessarily so. Because the majority of people that saw Jesus in Jesus' day denied Him. The majority of people did not follow Him. This morning I want to talk to you again about assurance. Because that's what I've been trying to preach about for the last few weeks. And Bonnie asked me last night, she said, "Are we getting two sermons today?" I said, "No, just that same one that was going to be last Sunday. The Lord thought it needed to be this Sunday." So in John chapter 1, John writes about John the Baptist coming and being a witness. So two very simple things today. First of all, I want to talk to you about the seven witnesses to the deity of Christ. Now understand this, there are more than seven witnesses. In fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, there were 500 brethren who were sober and alive at the time that Paul wrote 1 Corinthians 15 that saw Jesus after His death, burial, and resurrection, and they saw Him alive. I became a Christian because of the sincerity of the Bible and the truthfulness of it and the reality that there is nothing in life much more important than Jesus. So the sevenfold witnesses are very important. So we begin with this first of the seven. The very first witness in Matthew, the third chapter, Jesus is about to be baptized. And he goes to John. And John tries to say, I need to be baptized by you, but you come to me. And Jesus said, let this happen. Suffer for this to be so. Verse 15 of Matthew 3. Jesus replied, let it be so now. It is proper for us to do this to fulfill all righteousness. Then John consented. As soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water. At that moment, heaven was opened, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting on him, and a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son. With him I am well pleased. You see, the very first witness to the deity of Jesus Christ is God the Father. The Father said, this is my Son. I wish there would have been more times that I would have made better decisions so that my dad, Big Larry, Larry Elsgarth, would have said, that's my Son. Instead of, yeah, he gets in trouble a lot. There's a big difference between the two. Now turn in your Bibles quickly to John chapter 5. We're going to come back to John chapter 5 a couple of times. But I want to look at verses 31 through 32 and then verse 37. If I testify about myself, my testimony is not valid. There is another who testifies in my favor, and I know that his testimony about me is valid. Drop down to verse 37. And the Father who sent me has himself testified concerning me. You have never heard his voice or seen his form. So the Father is the very first witness in the deity of Jesus Christ. The Father, God the Creator, well, actually the one that spoke the Word, and Jesus the Word that went out and did the creating, the Father is saying, this is my Son. Secondly, in John chapter 8, just turn a couple of pages over there, John chapter 8, and verse 14. The second witness is the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says in verse 14, Jesus answered, Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I came from or where I'm going. And then verse 18. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me. There are people today that say that Jesus never claimed to be God. Oh, yes, he did. Oh, yes, he did. I don't know why anybody would want to deny the Godship of Jesus Christ. You take away the joy and the hope, the only joy, the only hope that we have for eternity when we take away the deity of Jesus Christ. Because there will never be another one who will come and bear our sins, bear our burdens, die for us, resurrect for us, open heaven's door for us, make a home in heaven for us, and give us the way. There will never be another one. But Jesus is it. Thirdly, in John 15, now this is the Holy Spirit. Jesus has already told them he's going to go away. But when he goes away, he's going to send another counselor, another comforter who would be just like him. And according to John 15 and verse 26, Jesus said this, when the counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth, who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. The words that you see in this Bible, These are the very words that the Holy Spirit had written. These are those words. We're not talking about a book of Quran. We're not talking about a New World Translation. We're talking about the Bible, the B-I-B-L-E. Yes, that's the book for you and me. Jesus said the Holy Spirit would testify. And so when I read this Gospel of John, and I may see these red letters, although the red letters were not there in the Greek, I am reading the very essence of what the Holy Spirit had to say about Jesus. I'm reading the witness account. Fourthly, in John chapter 5, going back to verse 36, I told you we'd come back to this a few different times. In John chapter 5 and verse 36, Jesus said, "I have testimony weightier than that of John," that is, of John the Baptist, "for the very work that the Father has given me to finish and which I am doing testifies that the Father has sent me." There sure are a lot of commercials on television today asking for money. I think that there are two that just are really very sad. The very first one is children with cancer. I wish that there did not need to be a Shriners Hospital that takes care of children. Don't you wish that? No child should have cancer, but they do. And so that those groups of people just ask for money. But the second one, I wish that they didn't have to advertise for the Wounded Warrior Project or for our men and women coming back from the battlefield who are scarred for life with physical and mental and other problems. And they have to keep asking for money because our government evidently doesn't have the money to take care of the people that they used as soldiers. I think that's a tragedy. And every day you'll see these, if you'll just send $19 a month. Now, I'm not saying it's a bad thing to send that money. I'm saying I wish we didn't have to. I wish that the government would take care of these people. But you know what? We look at us. We're the walking wounded too. We've been wounded by sin, and we think, well, we wish that God wouldn't have to be merciful on those people. We wish that they didn't need the cleansing blood of Jesus. We wish they didn't need the church of the living God. But you know what? I don't know what I would be without it. And I need it. And I am what I am. And I'm a human and so are you. And we need security in life. And there is no security in life outside of Jesus Christ. And so when I was in college, at Southwestern College, doing things that I shouldn't be doing, living the way I shouldn't be living, and I was not a member of the Lord's church. And I met the lady that's now my wife, and her parents taught me the gospel, and I was baptized into Christ at the age of 20. What a wonderful thing to be able to go to sleep at night and to know that there is a God in heaven who loves you and who has done everything possible to take care of you and lead you and guide you and feed you and get you home. The works of Jesus, the miracles. Boy, if we ever need a miracle worker today, except there's a problem with that. Most people think the miracle is the most important part, but we know behind it was the message that was confirmed. That's the most important part. It was the message. The message that Jesus spoke. Fifthly, the Scriptures. The Scriptures in verse 39. "You diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life." And they do, but then Jesus said, "These are the Scriptures that testify about me." They are the eyewitness accounts of who Jesus really was and what Jesus really did. So the question, "Can I trust the Bible?" is a question that is answered, yes, because of the eyewitnesses. And have you ever thought about this? That the enemies of Jesus never denied his miracles. Never. denied his miracles. They never denied his existence. They never denied his mercy. They never denied his hope. The only thing that they denied, well, two things. One was glory. They denied to glorify Jesus. I know that that's not said in a way that it should be in English, but they would not glorify him. But secondly, they denied his resurrection. They lied about it and they tried to cover it up with the Romans. But yet the truth is, Jesus did all that the scriptures say that he did. And that's important. In John chapter 1, the sixth one is the John the Baptist. John the Baptist himself, when he saw Jesus in verses 29 through 34, the next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, a man who comes after me has surpassed me because he was before me. I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony. "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him, except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God." How serious was John? How far did he go with the belief that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of God? He lost his head over it. Literally. He believed it enough. And we look at these pages and especially this beloved passage and say, thank God he is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. Amen, church? Amen. Number seven, the apostles. In John the 15th chapter, Jesus told the apostles that when the Holy Spirit came on them, he said, "And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning." So the apostles saw everything that Jesus did, how he ate, how he slept, and even in a boat when there was a terrific storm with waves lapping over the boat and Jesus was asleep down below. Can you imagine what it would have been like to be with Jesus? Well, we really can't imagine, but we can believe. Would you rather imagine or would you rather believe? I would rather believe. Because that belief is going to get me somewhere. Now, in John the 19th chapter, I know that the Apostle John is a part of that group. But in John the 19th chapter, in verses 25 through 27, near the cross of Jesus stood his mother, his wife's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, and that was the Apostle John, by the way, he said to his mother, "Dear woman, here is your son," and to the disciple, "Here is your mother." From that time on, this disciple took her into his home. And by the way, did any of you see on the internet this last week that they think that they have discovered the home of Jesus in Nazareth? His name's written on the wall. I mean, what kid doesn't take crayon and color their name on the wall? Well, I say that tongue in cheek. I don't know, wouldn't it be interesting if it was his real home? I mean, for centuries it is the belief that it was his home, but here's the thing that's most important to me. That he had a home in Nazareth. That he really did come. That he really was born of a virgin. He was a baby. He grew up. He took the wonderful sins of mankind to the cross with him after he had performed all kinds of acts of mercy and love and glory, and yet died for us and resurrected for us and lives for us. But this was all done for one purpose. You see, the seven witnesses of God, which are more than 513 witnesses of God, that tell us the same story, that authenticate this is what the truth is, it was all done for one reason. Turn in your Bibles to John chapter 20, verses 30 and 31. When people come to me and they ask me, what part of the Bible, now that I'm a Christian, what part of the Bible should I start reading? The Gospel of John. Start reading it first because there are only seven selected miracles. Everything that's in the Gospel of John has been selected and put there. And so this is what John says. In verses 30 and 31, Jesus did many other miraculous signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written, that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. I believe Adam was the first man, and I believe he was imperfect. He was probably left-handed, like me. Well, he probably wasn't. He probably was right-handed like you, you imperfect people. But I know that ever since Adam and Eve were in the garden and they disobeyed, man has been dying. Do you know what that's proof of? Sin. Sin kills people. Sin causes people to die. But when I look at the Bible, I find the only cure for sin. And it's Jesus. And John said, we have seen him, we testify. And do you know that the things that John went through, it would be interesting for you to go back and look at the history of John. When John wrote the book of Revelation, he had been banished to the island of Patmos. And he had already endured many, many different things where they had tried to kill him in different ways and they couldn't kill him. Because as the last eyewitness and the last apostle, he had more things to write. He had to finish writing the Gospel of John and he had to finish writing the book of Revelation. Those things were important. But here we are today, and John said, we have these things so that we would believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. In John, the 12th chapter, John again writes down, under inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he writes down again, verses 31 through 36. Jesus said, now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. You see, he knows that within 36 hours, he's going to be dead. In John chapter 12, within 36 hours. He will be dead. So now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, Jesus is saying, I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up, we have heard that the law, from the law, that the Christ will remain forever. So how can you say the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus told them, you are going to have the light just a little while longer. Walk while you have the light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light. Put your belief. Put your faith. Put your trust in the light while you have it, that you may become sons of the light. When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. You see, there are a lot of people that want to say just believe, but this word trust that's translated trust is the exact same word that's translated believe every time in your New Testament. It's the exact same word. Why do they translate it trust here and belief in other places? I don't know. But the issue is, pistis, which God requires from us, is that we would have a faith that believes and obeys, just like the old song number 702. Now, it's not 702 in this book that we have, that the song book, but that's the old song, trust and obey, and that's what Jesus wants from you and me. In John, the 14th chapter, I'm almost done. Don't go to sleep yet. I know it was hard to get out of bed this morning. I know this. Jesus said, whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. How do we know the people who love Jesus? Jesus said, if you obey my commands. I know that's similar to John 14 and verse 15, where if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And one more thing, in 2 Peter, the 3rd chapter, in verses 3 through 8, verse 2 Peter 3, verse 18, the Bible says, but grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to Him be glory both now and forever. Amen. The one purpose of God is that we would have faith that trusts and believes and obeys and gets us to a point of salvation, and that we would then grow up in that salvation and get to a point where we have assurance. Now, I started off this morning saying, boy, I sure am glad the Seattle Seahawks won the Super Bowl. Should have been the Cowboys, but they didn't. They didn't win the Super Bowl. So if anybody tells you that, you know that they're not telling you the truth. But when we read the Bible is not once upon a time in a faraway place a fairy tale. It's a historical book. Everything in it can be verified by history, especially the Gospel of Luke. Luke writes in a very fashionable historical way. But bottom line, what do you believe today? Who do you trust today? Where is your security? You don't see me dragging around a security blanket and sucking on my thumb. You don't see it. But boy, without Jesus, I would need it. What is it that people hope for today? Well, people want more money. Can $40 really make a difference? And this guy writes $40 on a little white block, and they push the block, and it knocks bigger blocks down and big blocks down, and finally retirement falls. Folks, I'm not worried about retirement. I'm concerned about eternity. And I'm so thankful that somebody finally came out with the old country song that says there isn't a trailer hitch on the back of a hearse. Well, we've known that for years, that you can't take it with you. But you get to take your faith with you. You get to take your hope with you. You get to take your love with you. And hopefully for every one of us, our children will follow. I want to say I hope you get to take your children with you, but you can't. You can't take your children with you. And I'd like to say I hope you get to take your wife or your husband with you, but you can't take your wife or your husband with you. You can try to help get them there, and that's the point of marrying a Christian. It's easier that way. But one day the Bible says that every one of us will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and we'll give an account of what we have done. For the Christian today, right now, the Bible says there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus our Lord. Get better than that. There isn't anything better than that. And so this morning, when we look at our Bibles, we say, thank God for the eyewitnesses so that we can believe the truth, that we can obey the truth, that we can live out and grow up in the truth, and every night I can have assurance. But it's not just the night, it's during the day too. We have security, and that security is Jesus. And that's what John was trying to say in the fact that John the Baptist came to testify concerning the light. Most in here, I know, are Christians. There might be one or two that are not. And we want to offer you the opportunity today. You've heard what the message is about Jesus. You've heard what God said about His Son. Maybe it's time for you to repent of your sins, confess them before Jesus Christ and be baptized into Christ, to have your sins washed away, to join the family, to get your reservation in heaven and begin living a new life. But also knowing we struggle with things. Each one of us. If you have a prayer request this morning that you would like to make known, we would love to bow our heads and pray for you. If we can assist you in any other way, our God beckons us all to get home. Come home, He is saying. As we stand and sing this song, please come.